You're listening to Chris Scott on FM 105, Down Community Radio. Broadcasting live across Downpatrick and beyond. You're listening to your local station. This is FM 105.
Hey, welcome to the Chris Scott Show on FM 105 Down Community Radio. Thank you for tuning in again tonight. Starting the programme there with Billy Ocean, When the Going Gets Tough. I think that was probably his only number one UK top 40 single back in 1986. Yeah, 1986. Great song to start off tonight's show, and it sets the scene for tonight's guest. A couple of tough guys coming in tonight. All will be revealed later. I'm joined tonight by Duxie Leakey in Killaloe, representing Suicide Down to Zero, a local charity doing so much in our community for so many people and beyond the community as well. They're based in Downpatrick. And I'm chatting to two brave local chaps by the name of Don and Richie and Niall Montgomery. And why am I talking to them tonight? Well, they're part of a 10-man outfit cycling from Cork all the way up to Malinhead in Donegal. That starts on Monday the 18th of April, and they hope to be in Malinhead on Thursday the 21st of April. Wow. They have set themselves a target of £10,000, and every penny of that raised will go to Suicide Down to Zero, based in Downpatrick. I'm looking forward to joining them in just a minute. Later on the show tonight, we will rejoin the talented Castle Welland Studio Players with Series 3, Episode 3 of The Amazing Adventures of Jonathan, No Middle Name Jackson, written, of course, by the talented Anthony McFadden. What are they all up to this week? Well, do stay tuned to find out. So I picked a few bicycle theme songs for tonight to fit in with tonight's Chatting with Chris feature. That follows after this one, and yes, it's Queen, and you've guessed it, it's Bicycle Race. So join me in conversation with Don and Richie, Niall Montgomery and Duxie Leakey after this one.
Chatting with Chris on FM 105, Down Community Radio. Your station, your voice.
1978 and Queen. Yeah, they used 65 models to race nude on the bikes at the, I think it was Wimbledon Stadium whenever they were doing that video. Long time ago, 10 men who probably won't be riding nude across Ireland at Easter time are riding for Suicide Down to Zero, STZ0000. Have two of them in front of me tonight. I'm going to welcome onto the programme Donan.
How we go?
And Niall.
Hi there.
You guys have a big, big challenge ahead of you because you're going to be doing a charity event for Suicide Down to Zero. And also with me tonight, Duxie Leakey.
How are you doing, Chris?
And Duxie, you're representing the board. How long have you been involved with that?
I've been on the board now since November, December.
The last time we spoke about Suicide Down to Zero was probably last May. And your good self, actually, and the talents that you have, you had a few paintings up for auction at the time. I think you raised probably, £1,400 at that time?
Yeah, I think that was right, yeah, £1,400.
And then I do remember we had a mind walk as well, some sort of mindful walk then in June, and that brought a lot of people out and sort of raised the profile of that organisation at the time.
It did, yes, it did. There was, I think there was about 30 people turned up for that one.
Before I go over to Donan and Niall and the event that they have organised, Duxie, Suicide Down to Zero was formed in about 2015. Your own involvement with that, apart from being on the board, I know they do training and things like that. Have you availed of any of that?
I have, yeah. I've actually just completed my assist training through Suicide Down to Zero, yeah.
Which is Applied Suicide Intervention Skills Training, I think that's what it stands for?
Yes, that is it. Thank you, yeah.
There are other training schemes as well. Do you know anything about those?
Yeah, there's another one is Safe Talk. And I think I'm going to avail of that one as well. It's basically where they go out and they help people to understand how to intervene and how to approach someone that maybe has suicidal thoughts or has attempted suicide to get them help and stuff like that, yeah.
The training that you received, I mean, how did you feel about that, you know, before you initiated? I know you've been in other training schemes, but this particular training scheme, how did you feel before going through it and after it?
Before I was excited. I was excited about doing it because it does give you, the assist training in particular, gives you a really, really insightful way of helping in suicide prevention or intervention. Actually doing the course, I found very emotional because I recognised an awful lot of the techniques that were applied to in my own situation when I when I wasn't well. So it was tearful, very worthwhile, and yeah, it was a 2-day experience, a 2-day experience, an emotional roller coaster. But you end up feeling really, really proud because you know it worked, because you recognised the techniques that were used on yourself, and you're still there to do the training yourself.
So it's nice sitting in the classroom listening to all this and doing all those things and passing it, but to actually go under the ground then and to actually put that into practice, that's a different ball game altogether.
Yeah, I will, but I think with my own experience and recognising a lot of the stuff that was used, I would have the confidence. It gives you the confidence, because it's not like you are, you're not, I understand where you're coming from, where, you know, you're there and you have to do it very compassionately, but you know it works, so it gives you the confidence and it gives you that oomph that you need to be able to help somebody in an intervention. It just clicks and makes it work. It's very grounding, and like I say, you recognise the actual training, you recognise the things, and you know they worked. So it does give you the confidence to... I think it gives you the confidence and the compassion and the empathy to be able to go and assist a person, you know.
Doxie, none of this is possible without funding, of course, and that's why Niall and Donan are here tonight. You know, you guys have come up with a brilliant idea. Well, on paper, I'm laughing, but you're obviously, I'm looking at you guys, you're obviously young, you're fit looking, and you're also cyclists, so you guys have elected to... No, he's shaking his head. Donald's shaking his head here. No. But you know what I mean? This is a big challenge. So tell me all about it, Donald. What are you guys going to do?
So we're going from Mazin to Malin over 4 days, starting on Easter Monday, finishing in Donegal on the Thursday, all being well. Maybe a few tears along the way, but sure, that's part and parcel. So it's averaging, first day is 130 mile, which will be the longest. Then it's going to average about 110, 115 thereafter. So yeah, it'll be tough. But again, what we only have to cycle for 4 days. It's the guys like Duxie that are doing the work on the ground, which is the important thing. So, and if we can raise a few quid along the way, nothing wrong with that.
So can I ask you then, you know, why did you pick this charity? Are there some of the guys are very close to this, or what was your thought process there?
I suppose Suicide Down to Zero is a local charity. It's a very much a community-based charity, and it's very much grassroots. Everybody knows or somebody has been affected by suicide in some shape or form or capacity. So it's a very special charity that close to everybody's heart, that's not too far away. The fact that they're local, that they're indigenous, and it's people affected. It's all money going to grassroots to help the local community. I thought it was like a completely no-brainer to be channeled that way. And just hearing Duxie's story, just hearing it right now, is the first time I've personally heard it. And I just think that is, wow, that's unbelievable that people have all got their own wee story and they're willing to then reinvest. So I think it's a great charity. And for us, the easy bit for us is, as Donan says, we're cycling for 4 days. We're getting to see the countryside. We're having a wee bit of a leisure. It's these guys that are doing the hard yards day and daily, 365 days a year, you know, so
fair enough now. But you know, I'm right in saying there's actually 10 guys down for this.
There are so far, well, there's 10 names forward. They're not at the starting line yet. And hopefully the 10 that start hopefully finish it as well. But yeah, there's 10 at the minute, because it's a nice number, it's easy managed, and hopefully we all get where we need to be. But it is like my brother Peter probably came up with the idea, and he wanted to do it, and he's very friendly with Jill, and as Niall says, unfortunately this does touch people's lives right throughout the community, and it's somewhere that in County Down where people can benefit, where we're all from, so it's just nice that to put something back.
Chatting with Chris on FM 105 Down Community Radio, your station, your voice.
Thought the next tune would be very apt for tonight's theme, for those guys who are facing that tough challenge on their cycle in April, and also others across the world and the land at this time who tonight have their own adversities. I'm going to play for you guys Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush from 1986. It's Don't Give Up. Back with the guys after this one.
You're listening to Chris Scott on FM 105 Down Community Radio.
Chatting with Chris on FM 105 Down Community Radio. Your station, your voice.
So you're starting off in Cork, is that right? Is it Cork City, or where exactly is the start point?
It's amazing. So we're cycling all uphill the whole way to Donegal.
Yeah.
So it's sort of the west coast.
Yeah.
So it's a nice way to see Ireland, if you can look beyond the wheel in front of you. It'll be nice.
So logistics, so that's what I'm trying to get at. So how you must have a whole team of people around you just to get the Cork even.
Yeah, so we've got a driver take us, so we've two drivers, two vans taking us down, and we've a support driver with us for the 4 days. So it's quite, and then the hotels were planned thereafter. So it's a bit of a handling. I took nothing to do with that, but it's done.
Now, your own training regime. How long have you been cycling for?
Not that long, to be honest with you. I got signed up to this one night and I thought it was a great idea. I've been a cyclist. I've been a recreational lockdown cyclist. Lockdown came in. I used to play rugby and team sports. Could longer avail of. So lockdown came in, the weather was good, so I dusted down the old child bike and started taking to the roads, and just pretty much fallen in love with the sport. Mm-hmm. Met a few good guys along the way, and it's sort of taken a wee bit of gravitas from there. I've only been cycling 18 months or so new to the sport, and probably bitten off a wee bit more that I can chew here, that I can go in for. I'm going for 4 days end to end in Ireland, but I just think it's great physically, but it's also great mentally. Great way to see the countryside and experience it from a different perspective, and the sights and the sounds and the smells that you get from a bike is great, but to do that the length of Ireland is, it's certainly a bucket list material. So I would say come the 21st of April, I mightn't be wanting to look at a bike much longer, but we'll see how it goes. We'll give it our best bet. We'll give it a good crack anyway.
So at the minute, I mean, distance-wise, what do you do? You're not one of those guys come down the main Killalea Road and keep me back whenever I'm in the car, are you? You know the way they all go to abreast? Are you part of the cycling club even? You know, do you do that?
Yeah, there's a part of a local cycling club or a local guy, so it started out pretty much as coffee stop cycling. We've had to do, in fairness, a wee bit more training, so that the regime would be a wee bit more time in the bike. We probably should be doing a whole lot more, but ignorance is sometimes bliss in these sort of things. And I'm certainly taking it from the, we're not riding to race, I'm riding for recreation. It's going to be exciting, but the training regime needs to be more and more.
So have all the guys started training yet?
I hope so. If they haven't, they might be in trouble because of a month to go. It's going to be tough. It is going to be tough. It's going to be a challenge. And why do something if it's easy? It should be a challenge. Again, as has been said before, we're doing it for 4 days. And to be fair, it's going to be a physical challenge, as you can imagine. But it's also the bit between your ears is going to be very difficult as well. It's going to be a mental challenge as well. And again, it's probably going to be a wee bit like life. You know, you'll cycle uphill and it'll be hard to get there. But once you get the outside, you're freewheeling down. So it's... You can attach and associate this cycle with mental health and how you're feeling on a day-to-day. It's times it's tough. Times you think you're never going to get there. But you do get to the top of the hill if you take your time. Yeah. You don't have to go there. You don't have to be there in an hour. You don't have to be there in a day or a week or 2 weeks. You will get there. Take your time and do it the right way. And then you will freewheel down the other side. And the cycle is associated in more ways than one to how we feel and how we cope in life.
And I think the other big thing is you have people around you to support you as well, to keep going.
Yeah, we do. Like, there's 10 of us. Unfortunately, one of them's my brother, who is a cyclist, unlike me, and will probably try and... He's never really beat me at anything in his life, and this is his thing. So I'm prepared to suffer a wee bit.
Well, tell me this, then. Equipment-wise, yeah, you got a bike, but did you have to upgrade? I mean, any of you guys have to look at different bikes then for this event?
No. Well, I didn't personally. I just make sure it's in good condition, it's serviced, it's ready to go, and all that work's been done. So, no, the bike I have, hopefully will get me over the finishing line.
Yeah, okay.
And what about the actual wear that you have? You know, that there, I don't know what it'll be like sitting on, I've sat on the bike for about 2 hours and I know what it'll feel like after it. You know, the special padding, you know, special shirts, raincoats. What do you take with you?
Yeah, I suppose you definitely have to have the specialist kit. So you'll have your cleats and your lycra and your padding and your chamois cream and various bits and pieces. But that's just part of cycling. And without that, there you would definitely be struggling. But no, there's a whole support network around us. There's 10 of us. We're just the guys in the saddle. But there's going to be support drivers. There's going to be other halves. There's going to be people supporting us. But as I say, it's as Donan also said, it's a bit that their mental bit and the encouragement that everybody's given us, and very much the kind fundraising and the donations that everybody's given us, that's the bit that's really supporting us and driving us to push up that hill and then to enjoy the journey while we're there.
But not just the one hill, like you've got 100 hills to go up.
That's life. And any, it's not one hill in life. It's not one dark cloud. There's not one. There's sunny days and there's rainy days. So yeah, there's going to be 100 hills. We know that. They're going to be tough at times. Some of them are going to be very enjoyable. But let's enjoy the process when we're doing it.
That's superb. What about sponsorship then? Have you got many local firms interested at all? Do you know?
Yeah, the support from local firms and local people, to be fair, right across the board has been phenomenal. I think at the beginning we started, we had a round figure because we'd never, like I personally wasn't involved in anything like this before, we had a figure of about £3,000. And very, very quickly, like that was done. You know, we have a lot of local support, you know, Braidwater Homes, Scullion and Green, Quinn Estate Agents, Richie McLean Mortgage Solutions, MG Construction. You know, they have sponsored the gear that we have. Yes, Karen Russell. Yeah, again, these are people that I've known, and I've just asked the question, not knowing how the response would be, and more than happy to donate to such a special cause. And again, because I think everybody at some stage or another has been associated with that. So, and you know, they sponsored quite generously, and you know, and I'm overwhelmed by that. And that's not taken away from the individual people who have supported. They've done that also, and with, you know, and any money that's donated, again, that drives us on, because people have donated the hard-earned money in today's society, how things are going, everything's going up. It's not easy to spur, how big or so small. Just any gesture, it has to be recognised, and that'll push us on. So when we're going up, when that dark cloud's coming and there's a bit of rain lashing, or we're going up a hill, or you don't know what's around the next corner, you just have to bite down and keep pedalling and get home.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great, Donald. And of course, every single penny will go to the cause.
Oh, absolutely. And the great thing about it, that every single penny is, it's all grassroots. It's all for Indigenous people, local on the ground, within the local community. So absolutely, every single penny, which we're very grateful for. And not just the monetary donations, but also the intangible donations, the words of encouragement, the gifts, the gestures, the support. Very much appreciated, and I think that's definitely driving the 10 of us guys on to get up over that hill and certainly enjoy ourselves, or aim to, come the finish line. Yeah, that'll be good.
And just to confirm, every penny is going. I have to say that the 10 boys, me included, that are doing it, the hotels and stuff like that, has all been funded ourselves. We're not taking anything out of the pot that people have given, and I think that's, everybody should be commended for that, because they're not only doing the 4 days, they're doing the 4 days at their own cost. So any penny, any money that's going in will not be deducted for any cost whatsoever.
Donan and Niall, listen, thank you so much for taking the time out to speak to us tonight. And I don't know where to start. I don't know what to say to you with that bike ride. But what I'm going to say to you is, you see, if you Google it and you do your route and you say to Google, I'm going from Cork on my bicycle up the Malin Head, you should be able to do it in, 25 hours. So that would give you an extra 2 days in the pub.
Thanks for that.
We were strictly cycling for recreation here. I'm going to enjoy the journey. Yes, we'll be in the pub, but no, we're not going to be there for 2 days.
Listen, guys, it's a brilliant venture, and we'll wish you all the best. We'll maybe get a chat with you after you finish it.
That'll be great, yeah. No, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for your time.
And Duxie, thank you again for appearing on the programme, and wish you all the best. Any other plans coming up for the Suicide Down to Zero? Anything else in the future coming up?
Not that there is other stuff in the pipeline, but it hasn't been concreted yet.
Chatting with Chris on FM 105 Down Community Radio. Your station, your voice.
Thanks again to Don and Richie and Nell Montgomery and also Doxie Leakey, of course. Good luck again with all your ventures. We'll be interested in finding out how you all do in April, so let's hope you keep in touch. When we were recording that interview a couple of weeks ago, the amount at that stage raised was £6,000, believe it or not. So if you'd like to donate to them, then have a look at the Suicide Down to Zero Facebook page and you'll find links there linking to the local giving page. It's called SDZ Length of Ireland Cycle 2022. SDZ Length of Ireland Cycle 2022. So for all you guys, all 10 cyclists, I'm going to give you a shout out. Peter Ritchie, Donan Ritchie, Eamon Dalton, Nicky Casement, Seamus Carr, Jared Grant, Niall Montgomery, Marty McElmail, Leonard Smith and Brendan Duffy. I'm playing this one for you guys. It's 9 Million Bicycles and Katie Melua.
You're listening to Chris Scott on FM 105, Down Community Radio.
I was nearly going to say that's the end of the show tonight, but of course it isn't, because we've got the Castle Welland Studio Players, and they're coming up in just a few seconds with Series 3, Episode 3 of The Amazing Adventures of Jonathan No Middle Name Jackson, written of course by the talented Anthony McFadden. Looking forward to hearing what's happening tonight, guys. I'm sure it'll be great fun, as it is every week. If you've tuned in tonight, you've been tuned in to me, Chris Scott. Thank you so much for joining me. You can join me each Wednesday night between 7 and 8 p.m. and again repeated on every Sunday between 8 and 9 p.m. You can get in touch with the show through my Facebook page. That's the Chris Scott FM 105 Down Community Radio Facebook page. There's a few links there. If you missed out any programs, well, you get some links to previous programs there with the music taken out. It's just one of those things, but you can listen to the highlights. Do feel free to email me or message me through that site. I'd love to play your requests. If you want to come on to talk about anything in the local community, do give me a shout. So until next week, stay tuned and stay safe.
Castle Welland Studio Players, the fresh, exciting, innovative theatre group, is delighted to be staging its debut show, Gigglebox, on Friday the 22nd and Saturday the 23rd of April in the Lodge Castle Welland. Curtain at 7:30 p.m. This self-penned production is sure to have you giggling and laughing out loud with characters from all corners of the world. You can get your tickets priced £10 by contacting the group through Facebook, Castle Welland Studio Players, email CastleWelland Studio Players at hotmail.com, or in local outlets nearby, formerly JR's of Castle Welland, Cushla's Beauty Salon Clough, or the Parish Centre Newcastle. We are so excited to be the first live local drama in such a long time, and no folk are as eager and excited to be entertained as we are to entertain you.
You're listening to Chris Scott on FM 105, Down Community Radio.
Of the amazing adventures of Jonathan, no middle name, Jackson. Last week, a very quiet Samantha and Morris Harty followed Jonathan and Donna through the doorway of dreams, which takes them to a strange, unusual, and hopefully, for once, a funny place.
Ah, Donna, I'm back to normal, and I can talk again. Donna? Donna, where are you? What's that music? And why am I wearing a wedding dress?
Because you're about to be married to the one you love.
Who are you?
I am known by many names. The manipulator of the mind. The illusionist of the id. A sorcerer of the senses. But you may call me the Dream Master.
Where am I?
This is your favourite dream. The one you have all the time. The one you want to become real. This is your wedding day.
This is not my favourite dream. My favourite dream is one of being stranded on a desert island with hordes of naked women who want me to...
Hang on. What do you mean this isn't your favourite dream? It has to be.
Well, it's not. Like I said, my favourite dream is being stranded on a desert island with hordes of naked women.
Yes, yes, yes. I heard you the first time. So, you're telling me this is not your dream?
That's correct.
Your name's not Samantha, is it?
No. My name's Professor Morris Harty.
Oh, bugger. It's happened again.
What's happened again?
The lanes have got mixed. It sometimes happens when more than one person comes through the door at the same time. How many came through with you?
Four.
What? Oh, great. This is going to take some sorting. Stay here. Don't go anywhere. And whatever you do, don't marry that man. I'll be back. You know what? I quite like that. I might use that as my catchphrase.
Hello? Jonathan, are you here? Jonathan! What's wrong with my voice? And why am I wearing a child's school uniform?
Happy birthday, darling!
It's not my birthday. My birthday is August 16th. Just a little reminder to those cast members who forgot it last year.
Here's your present.
Look, I just said it's not my birthday. Ooh, a present for me? What is it?
Stop! Don't open that present.
Who are you?
I'm not going to go through the whole rigmarole again. Suffice to say, I'm the Dream Master and you are not Donna.
No, I'm Samantha.
Okay, so far, so good.
Where am I?
You were supposed to be in your favourite dream, but there's been a mix-up that I'm trying to sort.
So, this is Donna's favourite dream?
That's right. Now, whatever you do, you must not interact with any more of this dream. Otherwise, events will happen that I cannot stop. What are you doing? What did I just say? Do not interact with any more of this dream. Put down that cake.
But it's a double chocolate gâteau, my favourite.
Put it down. Sit in that chair and don't move until I get back.
Wow, I'm on a really beautiful beach. The sun is so bright and the ocean looks absolutely fantastic. So clear and clean. It's almost like a dream. What's that? It looks like there's a crowd running towards me and, oh my God, it's a crowd of naked women. They're shouting something. You want me to do what? Really? What? All of you? Well, if you say so, I'll try my best to...
Good. I caught you just in time.
Who are you?
I'm the Dream Master. You're caught in someone else's dream. Whatever happens, you must not interact with those naked women.
Why not?
Because if you live out someone else's dream, then you will become trapped in that dream forever, living every day over and over again. In this case, one of having to please all those naked women.
Explain to me the downside of that.
Do not go near any of these women under any circumstances.
What if it was just one?
Not even one. Now, sit on your hands and stay there until I say so.
This dream has turned into a nightmare.
Well, this is interesting. We came through the doorway of dreams, and now I'm looking out from the wings of a stage at an auditorium full of people. And I'm holding a thank you speech for being voted the best treasure hunter of all time. I get the feeling that this is a dream and more than likely one of Jonathan's. It looks like they're beckoning me on stage. I think I'll just wait here and see what happens.
At long last, a sensible person. This will be so much easier now. Hi Donna, I'm the Dream Master and it looks like you've worked out the rest.
So what happens now?
All I have to do is slide you all sideways and then you'll all be in the right dreams.
Before you do that, how do we get out of here?
Once you've lived your dream, you'll be transported back to another part of the sketch. Okay, here goes.
Jonathan, Samantha, Donna, and the professor finish their dreams and are transported to the kitchen of the writer, who looks up from his laptop, realises that they shouldn't be there, and quickly writes the part of the sketch they should be in.
Where are we now? Is that a train announcement I can hear?
At a guess, I would say we are in a white room with black curtains by a station. And look here, it's a writing desk with two messages on it. This one is addressed to you, Donna.
Who is the other addressed to? Is it Jonathan?
No, it's for someone called Rudy. What does yours say?
It's from Jonathan's uncle Robert. He says he is willing to help us find the treasure of Le Chat Noir now that the writer has made him a bad guy. The message contains the location of the next artifact, which according to this, we must get to today. If we don't, the artifact will disappear from there and reappear somewhere else.
So, where do we have to go?
Through that door there, to the year 1980, and make our way to Platform 10 and a bit. From there, we catch a train to an even more ridiculous storyline than the one we are in.
From my deductions of this sketch, I would say that we are probably not going to hear from Jonathan and Samantha for at least another 1,000 words or so. Which means we will have a lot more lines than we did in the last episode.
And so we should. I put a lot of effort into the show and I wasn't happy with such a small part last week.
Right, let's go. So, here we are on the train, and we've been travelling for nearly 3 hours and are now arriving at our destination.
Was that for the benefit of the listeners?
Yes, it's so the scene can be set for this next part.
Foxville! Foxville! End of the line! I'll change!
It was lucky that we managed to catch the last train, Professor.
Yes, Donna, it was. And your next line will take us straight into another story.
Professor, it's suddenly nighttime.
That's because here, it's always nighttime.
What is this place?
This is Ghost Town. A town full of material from various scenarios. For instance, that house there is where the writer's bad jokes forever wander the empty rooms bemoaning their lot.
Whoa, the place must be really crowded.
You have no idea.
We are here for the artifact that will lead us to the treasure of the Chat Noir.
You do realise that all 10 artefacts have already been collected?
Yes, but there is still this episode to finish and another 3 after this. I don't think the listeners are that bothered. I reckon they just want us to get to the final episode so they can find out who gets the treasure.
You really think anyone is that interested?
Probably not, but it keeps me employed for the next few weeks.
In that case, I can tell you that the next artifact you require is a very special one.
What's so special about it?
It was once the property of an evil French Arabian alchemist by the name of Yafula Krep. Yafula used his knowledge of alchemy to create a potion that would make actors and some politicians forget their lines. He poured this potion into 5 bottles and placed each bottle in a bag. Over the centuries, all but one of the bottles have been used, the last being just last year, when a well-known person forgot what they were saying and started rambling about Peppa Pig. Now, there's only one bag left.
So where is it?
That which you seek sits on a stone blenched in the last room on the top floor of the third house on the left. Inside that room, you will find the last bag of crepe. Use it wisely, and it will aid you in your endeavour to remain a character until the final episode.
What about me? Will it help me as well?
It's doubtful. I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that you get killed off in this episode, but don't worry about it too much. I'm sure you'll find out if it's true soon enough.
Well, we'll see about that. I'm not just a great actor, you know. I have connections.
Whatever. Okie dokie, I'm off. Have fun. And try and avoid being eaten by the ferocious three-headed hamster that guards the entrance to the room.
Wait, what?
Donna and the professor make their way to the house, climb up the stairs, and finally reach the top, where, as warned, they find a cute-looking hamster with three heads and lots of teeth.
Looks like the food's arrived.
It's about time too. I'm starving.
Is it gluten-free? I refuse to eat anything that is not gluten-free. It plays havoc with me otherwise.
Hang on, I'll ask. Excuse me, I don't suppose either of you are gluten-free?
I'm not, no.
Sorry, no.
Well, that's my part finished in this sketch then.
We need to get into that room and retrieve the bag of crap.
Getting in is easy, getting out not so much. Inside is the bag of crepe on its stone plinth. However, there are also two more stone plinths, each with identical-looking bags. If you don't come out with the real bag of crepe, then dinner is served.
Come on, Professor, this will be easy. I've worked with loads of different actors and writers over the years. I can tell a real bag of crepe with my eyes closed.
Just one thing before you go in. I need to give you this.
What is it?
It's a note from Jonathan's uncle. It's instructions of where to find the single seater plane that will take you from this episode into the next one.
A single seater is no good. There are two of us.
At the moment, perhaps. Actually, if it's not too rude, can I ask how much you weigh?
16 stone.
What's that in pounds?
I'm not sure. 196, I think. Why?
No particular reason. So that's 20 minutes, a pound, and 20...
Come on, Professor, let's get this over with.
Much to the disappointment of the cute little hamster, Donna and the Professor exit the room with the correct bag, leaving our small furry friend to contemplate on the change of script.
Well, that didn't quite go to plan.
Tell me about it. I thought we were supposed to eat the professor after they picked the wrong bag.
While they were inside the room, there was a rewrite, and the ending changed.
So it's lettuce leaves again, is it?
Looks that way.
I've been thinking, in light of another meatless lunch, maybe the time has come for us to start seriously thinking about being vegetarian?
The day they make lettuce taste as good as bacon is the day I become a vegetarian. Pass the salad cream.
There you go. By the way, did you hear what happened to Chris Scott the other week?
No. What happened?
Apparently he was...
Right, Donna. How do we get to this plane?
It's this way, Professor. But have you forgotten? It's only a single-seater. How is it going to get us both to the next episode?
You leave that to me, Donna. I have a plan.
Well, we're here, Professor. What's your plan?
No time for that, Donna. Look, it's Jonathan and Samantha. How did you get here ahead of us?
After we left the writer's kitchen, we materialised inside a lovely little country pub. There, the barman handed me a note from my father. The instructions in the note said to come here. So, after a very tasty lunch, we called a taxi, and here we are.
Not that I want Donna to be jealous or anything, but we were also given 2 first-class plane tickets to the next episode and have been booked into a 5-star luxury hotel near the beach. I have a really good feeling that episode 4 is going to be a good one for Jonathan and myself.
You may need to rethink that, Miss Smallwood.
Why?
Because the swirly-whirly thing has just appeared behind you.
Oh, join us next week for another episode of The Amazing Adventures of Jonathan, no middle name Jackson. In that episode, Michelle Dorans played Samantha Smallwood and the narrator. Mark Made Upney played Jonathan Jackson. Anthony McFadden played Professor Morris Harty and the Dream Master. Siobhan Miller played Donna Big Bum and Hamster Head 3. Austin Biggerstaff played Ghost Town. Tim Connolly played Hamster Head 1. Bridgie de Croskery played Hamster Head 2, with Kushla McKibben playing Donna's mum. The writer was Anthony McFadden.
You're listening to Chris Scott on FM 105, Down Community Radio.